the best way to prevent or to fight corruption.
Thousands of Hong Kong police rally in the streets and a former top leader is sentenced. It's Friday, February 24th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Visit us as well online on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, a rare jungle cat sighting. Chinese and North Korean relations following the death of a Kim family member. China targets terrorists. New drug safety testing. Find out what it means to you now on VOA Asia. More than 30,000 current and former police officers in Hong Kong took to the streets late Wednesday in a show of support for colleagues who were recently convicted of assaulting an activist during the 2014 Occupy protests. The mass demonstrations were described as the largest gathering of police officers in the city that it has seen in a half century. Analysts say while the police have every right to exercise their freedom of speech and assembly, many supporters' acts and harsh comments toward the judge may have constituted contempt of court and posed a challenge to the city's rule of law. The police groups had previously vowed to raise funds to help file an appeal for the seven convicted police officers, each of whom received a police term of 2 years last Friday after being found guilty of beating pro-democracy activist Ken Sang. The convicted officers had denied any wrongdoing, although their brutality was caught on tape and later aired on local TV news. Earlier, Hong Kong's former chief executive, Donald Tsang, the highest-ranking ex-official to be charged in the city's history, has received a prison term of 20 months for misconduct in public office. Analysts expect Tsang's conviction to have little impact on the city's upcoming chief executive election in March, which they mock as a small circle race to be rigged by the top leader in China. Some, like Richard Democratic Movement activists in Hong Kong say the verdict has testified to the independence of the city's legal system while sending a warning to all public office holders who abuse their power, be they in Hong Kong or China.
It's also important that the maintenance of the rule of law and the independent judicial system is the best way to prevent or to fight corruption.
Radical lawmaker Lung Kwok Hung, known to many as Long Hair, says the trial has served as a satire to those corrupt officials in China, many whom enjoy political protection.
If the case of Donald Zhang happened in China, I don't think he needs to face the court anyway. If he is a friend of Mr. Xi Jinping.
Media speculation has been that the campaign of one of the race hopefuls, John Tsang, may be slightly tainted given his close relationship, although not by blood, with Donald Tsang. John Tsang's bigger rival, Carrie Lam, had worked under Donald Tsang, and both candidates were among more than 40 political figures who wrote letters in support of the ex-leader. In addition, both are seen as pro-China, although John Tsang is fairly accepted by pro-democracy representatives in the 1,194-member election committee, which will vote on the city's next chief executive. Lawmaker Lung Kwok Hung says that Carrie Lam is expected to win the race unless Beijing has changed its mind.
It seems that Carrie Lam has a better chance, but, well, who knows, because it's all decided by one person, Mr. Xi Jinping.
During the campaign, local media have also coined John Tsang as Donald Tsang 2.0 and Lam as CY Lung 2.0. Our thanks to Joyce Huang for bringing us this story. You're listening to VOA Asia. These are among the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. China aware U.S. Navy in South China Sea respects freedom of navigation. Philippines to defend Duterte's drug war at UN rights body. Activists urge Unilever to press Myanmar and help Rohingya. Australia's highest paid public servant quits $4.3 million job. Rare jungle cats sighted in northern Thailand. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia, and also check out our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues amid the sighting of rare jungle cats in northern Thailand, which has buoyed environmentalists and conservationists concerned that habitat loss and animal poaching are contributing to the species' decline. The jungle cats are found across a diverse region of the globe, from Egypt, West and Central Asia, South Asia, Sri Lanka, and Southeast Asia, and they're considered a key indicator of wildlife conservation. But conservationists say the jungle cat faces growing pressure across the world as its habitat is reduced by human intervention. Two cats were caught on camera trap in early January in the Um Koi Wildlife Sanctuary in northern Thailand's Chiang Mai province. Anak Patan Avibul says that they've taken steps to curb the role as a wildlife trafficking hub, especially in areas such as ivory shipped illegally from inbound markets in China and Vietnam. Thai wildlife customs officials have succeeded in uncovering operations trafficking many different animals, especially for Chinese customers. Krysek Chunhaven, chairman of the non-government Freeland Foundation, which monitors wildlife trafficking, said the discovery of the jungle cats is set against the dangers and challenges of curbing trafficking and poaching. And he says in recent years, some 30 Thai wildlife rangers have been killed by poaching gangs.
The record of jungle cats these days is very, very rare. And and in Thailand, you know, a lot of people believe, you know, this species might have gone already, but this time the person who used this high-quality camera trapping system and he got a very good quality photo of jungle cat, very, very clear, very beautiful. So I think it's very, very important to confirm.
Under the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, jungle cats are listed under Appendix 2, and that means while not necessarily threatened with extinction, trade needs to be controlled to avoid threats to their survival. Anak says the sighting of the jungle cats comes as their habitat more generally is disappearing.
I think jungle cats, most of them gone from the reason of habitat destruction. They lost the grass, you know, the open woodland habitat. And this is the habitat that's still remaining in very, very small pockets in northern Thailand. So I think it's very important about, you know, telling about we have to try to save this habitat.
Thailand has been pressed by the international community and cites conventions to take steps to curb its role as a wildlife trafficking hub. Thai National Park Director says that the refusal to reveal exactly where the two rare jungle cats were sighted were for their protection, but he added that the presence of the cats pointed to a healthy forest in the Um Koi Wildlife Sanctuary.
In areas where we call the animal sanctuaries along the border with Burma and with Laos, this is where we considered as the richest area for biodiversification of flora and fauna.
We thank Ron Corbin for this story from Thailand. You're listening to VOA Asia. Happening now in VOA Asia, Philippines Foreign Minister says Chinese President Xi Jinping told the Philippines China would not reclaim and build structures on the Scarborough Shoal. China has allowed Filipino fishermen to return to the area. Beijing said the two sides reached an agreement on resolving disputes. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us today on VOA Asia. Intrigue and mystery have surrounded the apparent airport assassination in Malaysia of Kim Jong-nam, the estranged half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. As investigators continue to ask why, few solid theories have been offered to the public, and speculation has run rampant. China is North Korea's neighbor and closest ally, and is the likely nation to exert the most meaningful pressure against Pyongyang. Will it have an effect on relations? VOA Asia's Steve Miller connects with regional experts amid many questions, including the possible effects of Kim Jong-nam's death on Sino-North Korean relations.
Police have expanded their suspect list to include Hyung Kwang-song, the second secretary at the North Korean embassy in Malaysia, and two other North Koreans. Authorities have also asked Interpol to apprehend four North Koreans who left the country following the assault. While this event took place in Malaysia, Kim Jong-nam lived in China following his 2001 failed attempt to enter Japan to visit Disneyland. No definitive links have been made between the death of Kim and North Korea, but United States and South Korean officials believe that Pyongyang was behind the attack. If proven true, what could the effect be on Sino-North Korean relations? Bilateral relations with North Korea have been difficult at best, so
China doesn't like what North Korea is doing, but it's been unwilling to implement pressure or implement the UN sanctions on North Korea.
That's Bruce Klingner, Senior Research Fellow on Northeast Asia at the Heritage Foundation. And Bonnie Glazer, Senior Advisor for Asia at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, adds,
I think that you can add this alleged assassination of Kim Jong-nam to a long list of issues that are causing greater friction in the China-North Korea relationship.
Like the missile and nuclear tests. Glazer says there's another factor that could be contributing to the friction between Pyongyang and Beijing.
And that is that Beijing is looking for issues on which it can cooperate with the Trump administration.
The key thing to watch, says Roger Baker, Stratfor Vice President of Strategic Analysis, is whether or not China feels North Korea's actions are starting to undermine Beijing's interests.
The Chinese have long accepted many of the things that North Korea does, primarily because in the end, they don't ultimately create a sense of risk for China itself. And this has even gone to their nuclear program.
Klingner adds,
perhaps the assassination of Kim Jong-nam goes beyond what their anger at North Korea for the various missile and nuclear tests. So we've seen China announce it would halt its coal imports from North Korea. But before they did that, they had expedited a lot of shipments so that perhaps they already had reached the 2017 quota.
With the Kim Jong-nam assassination conducted openly, Baker says that if North Korea once again finds itself listed on terrorism watch lists, China may be asked to treat Pyongyang accordingly. Steve Miller, VOA News, Washington.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Tokyo is closely watching events on islands involved in a territorial dispute with Moscow after Russia's defense minister talked about deploying a military division there. The disagreement has strained relations at times since the end of World War II. Foreign ministers are to meet next month. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues in an apparent bid to prevent terrorist attacks, Chinese authorities in the northwest region of Xinjiang have ordered that all vehicles in the Mongolian Autonomous Prefecture be installed with satellite tracking devices by June 30th. Otherwise, they'll be denied fuel. The state-run Global Times said it is designed to safeguard stability. Xinjiang has been a series of bombings and knife attacks, which the government has blamed on separatists within the region's large Muslim Uyghur population. James Leibold of Australia's La Trobe University has monitored Chinese minority communities, and he tells VOA's Victor Beatty this is just the newest innovation method of surveillance in frontier regions like Tibet and Xinjiang.
What we are seeing, though, however, and what this is an indication of, is that they're increasingly turning to high-tech options of surveillance. In the past, most surveillance was done with people watching other people. Now, due to increasing capacities as well as money, as well as kind of global trends in surveillance, we see the Chinese Communist Party turning to these new high-tech, high-data methods to surveil the population and maintain stability, which chiefly comes at the brunt of the Uyghur minority population in Xinjiang.
All vehicles will be required by June 30 to install GPS-style tracking devices connected to China's proprietary Baidu navigation satellite. Quote, according to Global Times, they can be tracked wherever they go.
Very, very Orwellian. This is a global trend. We see this happening in the West with iPhones and other technologies. So we humans, I guess, open ourselves to this type of surveillance to create efficiencies. But in the case of Xinjiang, it's got a clear element of social, political, and ethnic control. These issues are being framed around the question of terrorism, and the population that the government is concerned that are the terrorists are, in this case, the Uyghur minority. And so surveillance is always about sorting people into those who can be trusted and those who can't. And in the case of Xinjiang, those who cannot be trusted are overwhelmingly the Uyghur minority.
I haven't heard much about violence there. What's going on?
If we're talking about Tibet in Xinjiang, I would say these things tend to be more cyclical than the case of a kind of rising tide of violence. And we did see a kind of spate of violent attacks in both Tibet and Xinjiang beginning in 2012 through 2013 and 14. It kind of corresponded with the anointment of Xi Jinping as the new party secretary. Since 2014, when China launched a nationwide anti-terror campaign, we've seen them throw tremendous resources at this issue.
James Leibold said while this has resulted in a decrease in attacks, he suspects it will only push the resentment of the Tibetan and Uyghur populations against the Han majority underground. And he said authorities are using face recognition technology when issuing bus and train tickets, along with the more conventional street searches and police patrols. Last week, security forces in the regional capital, Urumqi and Hotan, staged massive anti-terror rallies in a show of force. And also last week, 5 people were killed, 10 wounded, in knife attacks in Pishan County. The 3 attackers were killed by police. Developing at this hour in Asia, India's only live volcano is active again, say scientists who witnessed the mountain spewing lava and billowing clouds of black smoke. The remote, uninhabited Barren Island volcano has been lying dormant for more than 150 years until a major eruption in 1991. VOA Asia keeps you informed all day on Facebook at VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, whether it's brake fluid in Nigerian teething syrup, melamine in Chinese baby formula, or talcum powder in Kenyan antibiotics, contaminated food and medicine is a deadly problem. But now a group of U.S. scientists in Indiana have found an inexpensive way to test medicines before they cause harm. Erica Celeste reports from South Bend, Indiana.
There are many ways for drugs to be corrupted, from manufacturer error to improper storage to fraudulent substitution. Notre Dame University chemistry professor Maria Lieberman hopes to give pharmacists in developing nations an easy way to detect contamination.
The pad is a lab on paper.
The PAD, or Paper Analytical Device, project began 6 years ago as a collaboration between Notre Dame and St. Mary's College. The simple invention replaces expensive machinery that might not be available in developing countries. The paper card allows testing of drugs at any stage of the distribution process. Each of the card's 12 lines is laced with a different chemical. When medicine is smeared across the lines and the card is soaked in water, a color change indicates whether the drug is safe. In addition to testing pharmaceuticals, Lieberman's team is developing cards that test lead, iodine, and even urine. Notre Dame graduate student Jamie Luther is working on a card to identify contaminants in milk.
There's tests that are published for, people at home to mix chemicals to test their own milk. And I thought to myself, like, you know, that's so cumbersome. People shouldn't be handling acids in their home and some of these dangerous chemicals with their hands.
In order to discover the most common contaminants, Lieberman's team works with 18 universities throughout the U.S. They use special machines to analyze the drugs collected from pharmacies throughout the developing world. Notre Dame graduate student Nicholas Myers says he never considered what a big problem altered pharmaceuticals were before he started working on the project.
I just took it for granted that chemical analysis could happen anywhere. I guess I just I didn't know the extent to which low and middle income countries did not have the capacity to do chemical testing.
A New York company is developing a complimentary smartphone app to help read and evaluate the cards. Testers can take a photo with their phones and match it with the app database for almost instantaneous results.
If we can't increase the capacity of analytical labs in the developing world, maybe we can come up with a way to bring that technology in a portable form that will be usable in the field.
The World Health Organization says a functioning healthcare system should have 343 pharmaceuticals on hand. So far, Lieberman's team has developed pads to identify 60 different drugs and eventually hopes to have tests for them all. For VOA News, I'm Erica Celeste in Notre Dame, Indiana.
And if you have a chance, go online to our website, voanews.com, and check out that story with video. And you can actually see some of the new testing methods that have been developed. Very interesting stuff. You've been listening to VOA Asia. We'd like to thank all of our listeners in Myanmar for joining us today on VOA Burmese Facebook. Thank you so much for listening to our program. You can also take our program wherever you go. You can download it as a podcast from voanews.com and also on iTunes. Be sure to check out our Facebook page. We've been telling you about it quite a bit. VOA Asia, you'll find all the latest stories being posted there. Plus, our show streams live as well. You can follow us that way. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Carl Starling, and our managing editor is Diane Gao, plus our great VOA Asia team. And we've got some new interns, Anying Guo and Michelia Cheatham. Welcome to our team. We're glad to have you. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Donald Trump is taking aim at transnational criminal organizations and international trafficking. In a recent executive order, President Trump called for the enforcement and strengthening of U.S. federal law to thwart transnational criminal organizations and their subsidiaries, including criminal gangs, cartels, racketeering organizations, and other groups engaged in illicit activities that present a threat to public safety and national security. The activities include the illegal smuggling and trafficking of humans, drugs or other substances, wildlife and weapons, corruption, cybercrime, fraud, financial crimes and intellectual property theft, as well as the illegal concealment or transfer of proceeds derived from these crimes. The order directs federal law enforcement agencies to give high priority to the identification, disruption, and dismantling of the transnational organizations engaging in such illicit activities, including through investigation, apprehension, and prosecution of members of these organizations, their extradition to face justice in the United States, and, where appropriate and lawful, the swift removal from the United States of individuals who are members of such organizations. The order also calls for enhanced cooperation with foreign counterparts working in the same area, as well as the development of strategies to maximize coordination among all U.S. federal agencies to counter such crimes within and beyond the United States. Transnational criminal organizations, the order states, are drivers of crime, corruption, violence, and misery. In particular, the trafficking by cartels of controlled substances has triggered a resurgence in deadly drug abuse and a corresponding rise in violent crime related to drugs. Likewise, the trafficking and smuggling of human beings by transnational criminal groups risk creating a humanitarian crisis. These crimes, along with many others, are enriching and empowering these organizations to the detriment of the American people. With this order, U.S. federal agencies, under the particular guidance of the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, and the Secretary of Homeland Security, in compliance with all laws, are charged to develop strategies, utilize resources, and work together toward an essential goal. A comprehensive and decisive approach is required to dismantle these organized syndicates, the order states, and restore safety for the American people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.